Please have a seat. Watching Rebecca up here is like looking at a Hostess Twinkie and wanting to have the whole thing. So, all right. Usually Twinkies come in a package of two anyway, so Rebecca and Rebecca too. So, let me get situated here. It certainly was a challenge getting here this morning, and certainly thank God for the fact that we're here. Okay. Sign behind us says nuggets of gold, nuggets of knowledge. And if I do my job correctly, we will have nuggets of knowledge in our heads and our hearts. And if I do it with extra care, we also will have nuggets to share for our tummies. See? So you thought the Hostess Twinkie was going to be the only food item involved. All right. Nuggets of knowledge. Why did I choose that? As I was researching for different things, I hear different words and they click and stay in my mind, and I write them. Being a speech therapist, I like having different ways of looking at things. For example, Easter is coming. I'm working with some people from the county, and looking at doing things with them, with the county. Easter's coming, and yet they call it, there's something called a spring fling, which is by the parks in San Diego County. And I'm involved in the Woodworkers Association, so different parks. Well, then they went and it was for Easter. I know you can't read this and it's not on a sign, but it says spring event. It went from Easter to spring fling last year to this year, spring event. And for Easter egg rolls, they just call it egg roll. But you know what? That's where they're at, and going from there. But as I was saying in terms of words, because I shared with a group yesterday, and I said, never forget. Of course, World War II people, of which there are a few that we still know, for World War II, it was never forget. But I heard somebody say, never forget. We serve a God. We never forget. We serve a God whose son was dead until he wasn't. Never forget. We serve a God whose son was dead until he wasn't. It's a different way of saying Jesus Christ died and 3 days later God raised him from the dead. Jesus didn't raise himself from the dead. God raised him from the dead. There I am at a woodworkers meeting sharing that with a group of people. I don't know whether they believe or don't believe. But never forget, we serve a God whose son was dead until he wasn't dead. All right, so, nuggets. I'm going to have five little sections. Each section will have at least one nugget. So I'll go from one section to one section, five, and we'll go quickly. And you won't have to write, the slides will be up there. So listen to what's happening as we go from a couple of different, I feel almost like this is going to be a chipmunk crossing. Those are my notes. So if I can get through the chipmunk crossing, your heads will be filled with some knowledge that I think and I hope will be beneficial for you. So we're going to start with number one of the five nuggets, Amy Carmichael. Amy Carmichael was a ministry person, missionary field, she was born in 1867. But she didn't die until 1951. So until 1951, she was in India from Ireland, and she was working with children. She wrote 35 books. She was bedridden most of her adult life because of a severe fall. But she did all of this from her bed. And she worked with children, thousands of children in India. And especially worked with girls, children, who were forced in temple prostitution to work. Children. She rescued thousands of them. I think that was in 1951. But 55 years in the ministry, and talk about words, things. She was interviewed from her bed. And the reporter said, well, what have you learned in your 55 years? Here's the first nugget. She said, you can give without loving. You can give without loving. I can go and give Daniel my pen. I don't have to love him to give him my pen. If I do give it to you, you'd have to give it back to me. So right now, I'm not going to give it to you. So, but the point is, I can give and without love. But here's the rest of her statement. So she said, you can give without loving. This is what I've learned. But you cannot love without giving. You cannot love without giving. I just think, here's the nugget that goes under that nugget. John 3:16, for God so loved. So, and the reason I'm saying so is because so is emphasized. So means very much love, not just love. Love's fine. It's agape love. But it's so agape big, like a double scoot of ice cream. All right. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever you, the world, all of us, should not perish. First thing God says is shall not perish. And then he says, but, I like that, but have everlasting life. The greatest gift ever given by God, everlasting life. Second Timothy comes along in terms of words for another nugget that goes with this one, who will have all men to be saved. And when that's said in the Word of God, it's said as a figure of speech with deep, passionate feeling. So Second Timothy, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, not a knowledge of the truth, but the knowledge of not a truth, but the truth. Because there's only one truth, God's Word. I love it. I love the way the words just fit together. Now, I just get to stand here and say them. So it sounds good. So there's God's gift on the piano bench. There's his gift. But if you don't receive it, it stays unopened. And your life stays closed. Oh, the power of word. God's word, greatest gift, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. All right, that's nugget number one. Now, if we would get the first slide up, if you would, please. From the Message Bible? There, good. Okay. This is from the Message Bible, Timothy. Well, you can see what's been emphasized there, too. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. And by the way, the Message Bible is a reading Bible. For study Bible, there's other kinds, true. And this version is like if you were in the middle of Africa and you asked somebody, hey, I'm having a Big Mac attack. They'd look at you, they wouldn't know what it meant. But if you anywhere around where there's a McDonald's, you'll know what a Big Mac attack is. So knowing, here for the words, the Message Bible is put there in street language that people understand for today. Right? So it says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated, windbags, addicted to lust, and allergic to God. There's the part that I stopped. Addicted to lust and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they are animals. Stay clear of these people. Wow. Part that hit me, addicted to lust, allergic to God. Okay. I just was flipping through some things, getting things off the computer, trying to erase the emails that just seem to come faster than what you have time to read. And as I'm looking at this, as I'm looking at the different things, don't be naive, addicted to lust. There's an email or an article, and I didn't even read it. I just happened to glance at it. And basically it was talking about the biggest purveyors of goods in the world, like which companies. There's selling refrigerators, there's selling property. And the biggest purveyor of goods happens to be the adult film industry. I didn't know that. Wow. And then I went further and it said, and the country that spends the most on purchasing and purveying those goods happens to be a country that has three letters to it in the sense of United States of America, USA. And then I thought, here's the connection, here's the linguistical aspect of what I'm trying to deal with from the first nugget with Amy Carmichael to this one here. She dealt with girls in forced temple prostitution back in 1951. Here we are, 2026. And you look at the biggest seller of goods in the world, adult film industry. Somebody said, we've come a long way, baby. Well, yeah, we have come a long way. But is it the right way or the wrong way? That's why our hearts have to be there. That's why God says, receive my gift. That's why the gift's there. That's why God paid the price that he paid and his son was obedient so that we could have that gift that's waiting for us on the counter, like the nugget of gold. All right. Okay, some little nuggets to go with this one. We'll move on to our third one. Addicted to lust and allergic to God with a forgetfulness of God. Satan doesn't fill us with an angryness of God or with an upsetness of God, but rather with a forgetfulness of God. And we don't want to forget God, because God never forgets us. How do we know? The price he paid. You can't get bigger than what he paid. Nuggets. Any kind of sin, when we get off the word, it will be because we have been pleasured off or pressured, pleasure, pressure, pressured off, or a combination of the both, pressure and pleasure. I thought that speaks volumes all by itself. Everything we tolerate will eventually dominate. Everything we tolerate. You tolerate something in your head. Well, and believe me, this can happen real easily. We were places yesterday, and there were people walking around. It was a beach type thing. And if you can see what they're wearing, I know they're wearing swimming attire. But boy, one wave, one whiff of wind, and whatever was on might come off. But there's so many visually stimulating images, but where we put one's heart and one's head, everything we tolerate will eventually dominate. Looking is one thing. Getting into it like this is far different. So where we put our heads and where we put our hearts make a big difference in terms of taking a checkup from the neck up. So everything we tolerate will eventually dominate. One reason that the church has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church. Listen again. Nugget. One reason the church has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church. Remember that spring fling? Dr. Werwell used to say you've got to get the word in culture, because if you don't, it'll be out of the culture. Back to Amy Carmichael, 1951. Thousands of girls for temple. You know, you think temple, you go to pray. Well, okay. But then we look at where we're at now. So, Charles Spurgeon is the person who made that statement. That one reason the church has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church. Charles Spurgeon. Okay. Number three. This one I have shared before. In one sense, but I'm getting into a bigger sense. Don't put the next slide up yet, but Lee Strobel, and I met him a few times. Lee Strobel, somebody's calling. Sounds good. All right, so Lee Strobel was a Yale graduate in law, a rising star, the corporate community. He was picked and picked and picked. And he was very analytical at what he did. He married, starting a family. And his wife came home one day. He's atheist. His wife's agnostic. So, and they're pretty much in the same bearing of thought. But one day his wife came home with a Bible. He looked at her. He looked at the Bible. She smiled and walked away. He went in and said, well, what have you got there? And he's atheist. And she's saying, well, I believe in God. She said, you believe in God? Yeah. So he set off on a two-year journey. He didn't know it was going to take him 2 years, but it took him 2 years talking to experts all around the world. And by the way, he had a sign on his desk. And the sign on his desk says, you say your mother loves you. Show me three pieces of collaborating testimony that adjourn to that point. Like a letter from somebody, a postcard, a testimonial from somebody says, hey, I heard your mom say she loves you. He has that sign on his desk. He put that same tenacity to work in trying to show his wife that she was wrong and atheism is right. And he put solid facts out to her. But she just kept loving the Word of God, loving on him in a very... She didn't push it on him at all. So, one of the people that Lee Strobel got to meet, these are all experts, and most of them were believers in God. Shanti, can you get our... Peter Stoner, who's a world-recognized mathematician and statistician, and math is not my forte. Okay, Peter Stoner. All right, you've got it up there. I can read it from here. He took eight of the 353 prophecies. He took eight. And he worked on the law of mathematical probability. For me to even say mathematical probability, I'm over there, huh? Joe would probably eat that up because he loves math. He loves numbers. I mean, Joe probably has numbers printed on his pillowcase. But I can read it. I can understand it. So Lee Strobel went to visit him. They're sitting in his office. Peter Stoner has a sweater on. It's the middle of December. And Peter Stoner, a very quiet man, and there's Lee Strobel, boom, 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 writing things down. And he's asking him questions. And Stoner said, look, if we take just eight of these 353 prophecies, just eight of them, and put them together, he said, took the prophecies and concluded that there was a 1 in 10 to the 17th power chance that someone could fulfill just those eight. And by the way, that someone happens to be Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our King, our Savior, because we do have a Savior that did get raised from the dead. So, okay, so 1 to the 10 to the 17th power, but to me it's like, okay, thank you, but I'm kind of lost here. I need somebody of Joe's caliber and more. But, okay, let's go a little further then. What does it mean? Written out, and this I hadn't seen before, 1 in 100 quadrillion. I didn't even know there was a quadrillion, but there's a quadrillion. I thought that was like some kind of a space animal. 1 in 100 quadrillion, that is 17 zeros. So that means that there's a 1 in 100 quadrillion opportunity that it could concur that Jesus Christ would be that person. Meaning, and this is just eight, by the way, the higher up you would go, if it was 10 or 20 or 30, and I believe one person that I read said that if you went to all 353, you would need 136 zeros, which is that. Okay, and that helps me. But here's the visual. Being a speech therapist, I love this visual. Peter Stoner, he touched Lee's jacket and said, Lee. He said, Lee Strobel is writing notes furiously down. So Peter Stoner stops him. And he looks at me and says, Lee, picture the earth. And he had a globe. He had one of those spinning globes. He took the globe. He said, Lee, take the globe. Look at the globe. He said, if you took the earth and put 1-inch tiles from Home Depot, not the big ones, just the little ones, little 1 inch, not 1 foot, 1 inch, if you put them all over the earth, including the seas, including the mountains, including the forest. You just cover the earth with 1 inch, 1 inch, 1 inch, 1 inch. Am I emphasizing something? Yes, I am. He said, and then you take a permanent marker and put a red dot on a white tile. They're all white. Red dot. And you turn it over so it's white. The chance of error in what's being said would be that chance that you took to take one tile and turn it over and expect it to be red. That's far this went. So Lee Strobel left him, went to the hotel. He's number crunching the different things, probably like Joe would be looking at what numbers fit, what numbers don't fit. And it dawns on him. He goes, ding. And he called his wife on the phone. And he said, sweetheart, I'm at such and such hotel in such and such a city. I just met with Dr. Stoner. He said, I have figured that it would take more faith for me to stay an atheist and to become a Christian. And he became a Christian. And he wrote a book called The Case for Christ. The legal, the lawyer, because he's a lawyer. Now he's written A Case for Christ, A Great Case for the Word, A Case for Easter. And he travels all over the world being the one to announce Christ. All, especially from a Peter Stoner and 1-inch tiles from Home Depot. So the next time you go to Home Depot and you see the tiles, put that in your head as a nugget of a thought. Thank you very much on that. Okay, so, don't switch yet for the next one. But okay, so those nuggets. All those nuggets with Lee Strobel, think how he felt. Honey, it would take more courage, more faith to stay an atheist. And he realized he's in the wrong camp. But he's in the right camp because he received the gift that's been waiting for him and each one of us that's been waiting before the foundations of the world ever began. Okay, let's go to the next. Peter Stoner. And this will come full circle. We're getting close on there too. Shanti, if you want to flip for the next one, please. Thank you. Okay. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Handiwork. Handiwork, like a handyman. There was a sign in a truck the other day, handyman's. And he said, I'm a specialist in being a handyman. So handyman is that you've got some knowledge of some things, but you're a handyman. You're handy. Well, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Like a drawing on the refrigerator that a kindergartner does, puts it on there. It's a drawing showing that child's handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth. So day and night's both covered with what? Showing. There's no speech nor language. Even the way it's said, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Meaning that it is heard. NASA, and I think I've shared this, NASA, because they got to talk to a person who had been part of this project, where they sent picture microphones, this microphone going out to outer space. Thousands upon thousands of them. NASA sent them out. And they were protected to last for a long time and to serve for a long time. And they put all these microphones out, and they recorded and recorded and recorded and recorded and recorded. And then the head of the project came into the room where the people were. I wasn't there, but this other guy was there, and we got to meet this other guy. And the leader of NASA said, we've sent these out, and we've gotten recordings back from all of these microphones, except for, I guess, a couple broke or something, but the rest of them all worked well. So they got the messages back, played them, and the director told the group of NASA people, he said, basically what we heard, we don't know how this is, but it's like, the stars are talking with each other. Talking with each other. The head of NASA. But God said it long before NASA even was there. God knew. And God's telling you, day, night, no speech, no language. Their line has gone through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. You know what? We're not going to have... Let me just share what... Light. Oh. It just. I'm only going to share one aspect on this, but this is a comparison for a hollow sun. So a hollow sun, pretend this bag is holding, it's a hollow sun. Okay, so a hollow sun. So you take a hollow sun and you open it up, right? So you got a sun, you open it up, it's hollow, there's nothing in there, it's empty. It's like a plastic, like that thing, it's empty. But you put, the sun is so large that if it were hollow, it would contain more than 1 million worlds the size of our Earth. So into this bag that has the sun. The sun is the bag. You zip the sun. You open the bag up. It's empty. You put our Earth, another. It's all the same size. And so large it could contain millions of worlds the size of Earth. Then he says, there are stars in space so large that they could easily hold 500 million suns, 500 million suns the size of ours. Then he says there are about 100 billion stars in the average galaxy. And there are at least 100 million galaxies in the known, 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 not known, no, but known world. Yeah, universe. I mean, that's God. Receive my gift. It's waiting for you. It's sitting there on the piano or the bench or the table. You don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow or not. Neither do I. And by the way, Peter Stoner and all the rest of them, all the prophecies, all those, that 353 prophecies, every single one of them has been completed. Everyone, check, 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 checkmate. They're all checked off. All of them that deal with Jesus Christ, the messianic prophecies, are all complete. All it's waiting for is for God to give the nod and to go on to the next thing. We're living in these ages. We're here. We don't know when that's going to be. But my point is, they're not waiting for, oh, wait, we got 3 more prophecies. Oh, no, we got 10 more over here. No, they're not waiting for any of that because it's all been completed and the gift has been given, wrapped for every one of us. Every one of us. So there's my little thing about universe. Now, last one for the 5. Moving right along. If you would like to put that on too, Shanti, for the next one? If you can. Okay. Oh, when you're sitting there looking at this, I want to stuff more into it, but it's not more. It's the quality of what you're putting in. Ah, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. Remember, we went from handyman to masterpiece. Handyman. Oh, the heavens, the earth, the 1 million suns that can fit into our sun. I mean, the 1 million earths that can fit into our sun, and the 1 million suns that can fit our whole set of planets in. It's mind-boggling. It's there. So, let me get the right paper here. All right. You're going to have a chance to check your faith in a moment here, too. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. That long ago means before the earth was even here, before there was a chair for God to sit on because there was no chair, before there was light because there was no light, before there was darkness because there wasn't. There was nothing, but there was God. And he wanted a family. That's all he's ever wanted. Back to Amy. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And what did God pay? An obedient son's desire to bless his father, our father, Jesus Christ, laid down his innocent life so that we could have that package, that gift. And you're going to see that in a few moments here. All right, masterpiece. Okay, a couple of nuggets that go with masterpiece. Glory for the Christian. And just listen, I'm going to read it twice. Glory for the Christian is more certain than the grave. Now think about it. Glory for the Christian is more certain than the grave. If Jesus Christ comes back 10 seconds from now, we just automatically go up. There is no grave. If Jesus Christ comes back 100 years from now, sorry, Charlie, but we're all going to be dead. But awaiting the return. Big difference, awaiting the return. But again, if he comes 10 seconds from now, we don't taste death by the grave. You know, people say taxes, and the only thing for certain is taxes and death. Yeah, death and taxes. No, that's not the only thing. As a matter of fact, far from it. Because if you're a believer, Christ comes back, you go up. Remember the Lost Behind books? I know it was fiction, but the point is, there's truth of God's word written in them. So, glory for the Christian is more certain than the grave. Check that in your heart. No matter how I see it, bend it, fold it, tuck it, it says the same thing. I don't have to force it in, have it boom, but no, it goes. All is done. Every single prophecy that has to do with Jesus Christ has been completed. Done. Okay, grit and grace. Rebecca and I never even talked we talked to each other. I didn't know what she was going to do. Oh, she's laughing over there. Well, because you do get to talk sometimes too. I don't hold the talking stick the whole time. Okay, because I didn't know she was going to deal with this book, Grit and Grace. And by the way, we're leaving these up here because if you want to look at it, because you're going to get to see one today, right now. All right. And the one that you're going to get to see. Okay, remember God's handiwork and the masterpiece of us? And by the way, God He's not looking around. He wasn't looking around for an elephant. Hey, let me talk to the elephants today. How are you doing? Well, my trunk hurts a little bit, but my toe feels good. Zebras. Oh, you know what? I was getting a suntan. One of my stripes got a little... No, God didn't want to commune with the zebras or with the elephants or with us. All of this is for us. And I just think that he allowed his son, who did nothing wrong, everything right, obeyed his father. Even when he said, Father, if there is another way, son, there is no other way. Can you imagine being God having to tell him that? Why? Because God loved us and we were yet unsaved. And God loved us before we were cleaned up. And even though we get cleaned up, we have to get cleaned up even more and more and more. And God doesn't say, sorry, Charlie, you're out of luck. Go to the next room. No, he doesn't. His arms are always open like the father waiting for the son. All right, Grit and Grace, you're going to be hearing and seeing a song. And in the song, it's going to say something about you stretched the heavens. You stretched the heavens. We're not ready yet. Sorry. You stretched the heavens by your hand. In the song, it says, you stretched the heavens by your hand. Not hands, plural, hands, singular. And what did he stretch? Not his underwear, not his socks. No! He stretched the heavens. How do you stretch a heaven? But he did. Because it says so in the Word of God. All right. So, you're going to be hearing that. But before you hear that, check. Lee Strobel, I think this is back to, I got to make sure I keep my people right. I believe it was Peter Stoner said to Lee, he said, I'm going to read this twice. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Listen to that. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Okay, this is going to be your chance to check out faith on Grit and Grace, because what I picked, by the way, Grit and Grace came from, they call it God notes. It's not, God didn't write the book, God wrote the Word of God. Yes, true, the author did, yes. But listen to it, it's from a God perspective. Like there's a country song, something where the best view is looking out my back door, Chesney or somebody, in a Western type thing. And the best view, he says, is looking out, because his family's inside. So, or I guess he's looking out, the best view is from his backyard in terms of his family. So our view here is going to be these words. And it starts off with Psalms. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And long before the earth was formed, I knew you. Even before the universe came into existence, I loved you. While I carefully knit you in your mother's womb, I whispered in your tiny ears, you are my creation, my delight, my joy. Everything about you is intentional. 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 He said it, not me. You don't like to pick it up with him. And people who wrote the book called God Notes. Okay, sorry. You are mine. You are my creation, my delight, my joy. Everything about you is intentional. Your nose, your eyes. You go up to any kid in school from kindergarten on. You ask them something they like about themselves and something they don't. You've got kids who'll say, I don't like my belly button. It's an innie and I wanted an outie. I don't like the mole behind my ear. I mean, they know. And God says, everything about you is intentional. Your nose, your eyes, your intellect. I know you better than you know yourself. Your thoughts before you think them. Your words before you speak them. Nothing surprises me about you because every day of your life was determined by me before you were born. I think about you all the time. While you sleep, I'm watching over you. When you awake, peekaboo. I put the peekaboo in. Sorry. Can you imagine? God's there. Peekaboo. Ah! Wait, God, go back, please. Okay, sorry. Stay focused. When you awake, I'm at your side. Eager. Now, eager means expecting and wanting to do something, right? Eager, because you're eager. And we're getting to the end of this. Stay with me. When you awake, I'm at your side. Eager to spend time with you. you. When you are awake, I'm at your side, eager to spend time with you. Invite me in, my child. Think about that. Invite me in. Where did we hear something like that when I was talking about the gift? Receive the gift of God, because if you don't receive it, you don't have it, and sorry, but you're screwed out of life, because you're not part of everlasting life in that sense, because you chose not to take it. I chose it not. Well, excuse me, but I chose two. So I'm going to take the two instead of the not, and the two are not going to be tied together. It's a choice. Free will. Invite me in, my child. I want to lead you in the way everlasting. There's only one way everlasting, not two or three or four. The only Savior who ever claimed to have died, croaked, dead, was Jesus Christ. Other people have claimed that they're dead, but they didn't die and get raised from the dead by God. People have been raised, yeah, Lazarus, yeah. But Jesus Christ, we serve a risen Savior. That makes all the difference. Now, remember what I said about you stretched the heavens by your hand, you made me. So this is going to be the wrap-up. So if you think you got some nuggets out of it, then you're welcome to come up and get some nuggets from here for chocolate. Because the other nuggets you just got are for your brain. And once this song is over, see if it doesn't. I mean, I was so excited about this morning and this song, I wanted it to be the closing note. I mean, I'm the messenger. But listen to them. And it combines handiwork and masterpiece together. So here we go, Shanti. Eyes on the screen, not on me. 1, 2, 3.
Give my
Well, you can see if we passed the nugget test or not. And if you feel that you did, you got something upstairs, I mean in your head, then you can get something for your tummy from here. I know there's snacks in the back, but this, when I saw those little gold bars, I said, I gotta get them for the fellowship because I know they're called gold, but golden nuggets.
Yeah.
So bless your heart. Thank you for being here. And yes? Oh, thank you. But here, let's have you say a word of prayer. Pardon? Okay. We'll close out with a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for you knew this day, yesterday, tomorrow, and all the others before we even think them or even wonder about them. There's nothing left to chance. You can't grow. You can't say, aha. You can't say, I've got to move to plan B, because you're God. You're it. You're everything. Thank you that we can see that a little bit bigger, that we can share that in our own hearts with ourselves and then with others as we grow, because you want us to be your active sons and daughters. We thank you for this opportunity of being here today, and that your son said yes to you, and you said yes because of your love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And thank you much.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning, everyone here, and for our Facebook family, and for those who will be listening to the teaching another day on the internet. Thank you.